message that God's put on my heart for us is heavy. It's a heavy message. And I don't want to squash enthusiasm or excitement. God wants us to be inspired, to be excited about His mission. But at the same time, God just put in my heart and Pastor Irvin's heart this week, we want to make sure that we are motivated properly and that the church, that all of us are motivated properly. God doesn't need our help. Come on, church. He doesn't need buildings and money and these things in order to save people. We're the ones that get the privilege to get in on it. That's what that's about, isn't it? God is holy, holy, holy. And the message God's put in my heart today is Isaiah chapter 6. So that's where we're going to go today. Motivation for the mission. Motivation for the mission. Isaiah chapter 6, this is where the prophet Isaiah has that famous vision of God in all, Jesus, in all of His holiness, high and lifted up. And here's the seraphim, those angelic creatures crying out around the throne of God, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of the glory of God. And in this generation, in this culture, we love to talk about the grace of God in the church, don't we? We love to talk about God's mercy and His love and His compassion. And thank God for all of those characteristics of Him. He is gracious and merciful and loving and compassionate. But He is also unfathomably holy. That word holy in the original language, it carries the idea of separation, infinite otherness. We're going to get into that today. He is not like us. Yes, Jesus took on flesh and dwelt among us, but somehow He is not like us. He dwells in a transcendence that is beyond anything that we can fathom, a glory and a holiness that's beyond anything we could even imagine. And the holiness of God, listen to me, we don't like to talk about our responsibilities in the church today as children of God. We like to talk more about God's gifting and His grace. But it is that gift of His grace that brings the responsibility, doesn't it? To whom much is given, much is required, Jesus said. And so we have a great responsibility to give hope and to make disciples and to love God and love people in this city to start, but then also all around the world. The holiness, listen to me, the holiness of God demands that we give, serve, and share the gospel. Let me say that again. The holiness of God. Again, we don't like to talk about our responsibilities, but this is very much the case we see in God's Word. The holiness of God demands of us that we give, serve, and share the gospel. We were not saved to sit, soak, and sour. We were saved to do what? God saved us to pray, to go, to give, to make disciples, to love people, to love on our community, to share Christ with boldness and compassion. I mean, that's what He's called us to. So are we going to go all in? That's what Isaiah did, didn't he, here? He has that vision of God, and then what does he say? Here I am. God says, okay, who's going to go? He says, right here, me. Not the preacher. It's not the preacher's job. It is my job, but it's all our job. Does that make sense? It's not just my job. It's not just the preacher. It's not just my Christian neighbor next door who's a holy nut, right? You know, it's not that co-worker I go to work with who, you know, is always talking about Jesus. It's not just their responsibility. It's mine. It's a child of God. Isaiah 6, let's dive in together. Verses 1 through 8. If you don't have your Bible, verses are on the screen where you can read along with us from there. Verse number 1, Isaiah says here, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up. And the train of His robe filled the temple. Above Him stood the seraphim, these angelic creatures. Each had 6 wings. With 2 He covered His face. With 2 He covered His feet. And with 2 He flew. And one called to another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. And the foundations of the thresholds, they shook at the voice of Him who called, and the house was filled with smoke. And I said, wow, what a show. Is that what He said? By the way, when we come into God's presence, it's first a whoa before it's a wow. Come on, somebody. It's first debasement before amazement. Humility. Repentance. That's how we come to faith. Children of God, by the way, that's how we live every day, is acknowledging our need. We're going to get into that today. He says, woe is me. And this is not a drunk. This is not an addict. This is not the convict. This is a prophet of God who, as he gets in God's presence, realizes he identifies with everybody else in this world that's broken. He doesn't come into God's presence and brag about how smart he is, how eloquent he is, how awesome he is. He's very quick to acknowledge his own depravity apart from Jesus. And he says, woe is me, I'm a man of unclean lips. I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. So he's identifying with the people, right? So there's some compassion even coming into this. Say, man, I'm broken with everyone else. And he says here, for my eyes have seen the King. Now he's talking about a kingdom. Come on, somebody. And he says, man, there is a King that's coming. You are the King of kings and Lord of lords, the Lord of hosts. Now the good news of the gospel, verse 6. We've seen the bad news. We're broke up, messed up folks. Here's the good news. Verse 6, seraphim says, that's all we needed to hear. And he grabs the burning coal, flies to him, that burning coal taken from the altar with the tongs. And he touches his mouth and he says, behold, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away. Your sin atoned for. How blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven and covered, the scripture says. Then in verse number 8, right off the heels of that. All right, you're cleansed. Same interaction. Isn't that interesting? Very, very same moment. God calls to him and he says, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, okay, whom shall I send? Who's going to go? Who's going to go be an agent of hope? Who's going to share the gospel? Who's going to give to bless others? Who's going to serve? Who's going to do it? And what does Isaiah say? I'm all in, to use our language. He says, here I am, send me. I'm all in. And would to God in these days that would be our heart as well. That we wouldn't let fear and anxiety and the world around us keep us from being the witnesses God has called us to be. The agents of hope that He's called us to be. Oh, Father God, You are holy, holy, holy. Just as You filled that temple with smoke as Isaiah saw it, I pray that You would fill this place with Your presence. It's Your Spirit, oh God, that breaks the yoke in our lives and breaks those strongholds in us. And so today, Father God, pour out Your Spirit in this place. Destroy the strongholds of the enemy. And fill us with Your power, Your peace, Your wisdom. Help us to hear Your voice today. You have a specific revelation for each one of us as to what this all-in call looks like. So God, speak clearly and more importantly, help us to hear definitively what You say to us today. And help us to respond in obedience. Here we are. Send us. Jesus, it's in Your name we pray all these things. Amen. All in. Motivation for the mission. We see in Isaiah's life and in this passage what it looks like to be properly motivated to carry out God's mission of giving hope and making disciples in this world. And what we see here with Isaiah, we see a man who has a very incredible or incredibly high commitment level, don't we? Somebody who says, listen, okay, I'm all in. By the way, Israel, messed up day. Uzziah, King Uzziah, was a godly king. Then he went ungodly. He let some pride in his heart. And there was peace and prosperity in Israel. He's like, look what I've done. Ain't I awesome? And so he decides he's going to walk up in the temple and burn some incense. Big no-no. Only the priests were supposed to do that. And so as he goes in, he's burning this incense. All the priests come to him. By the way, when you don't listen to other godly folks in your life, that is a clear sign of pride, isn't it? When I don't have a teachable spirit any longer, boy, what a problem for the child of God. And so Uzziah goes into the temple of God and he's burning incense. They're like, hey, don't you realize what God's word says? You better get up out of there before God decides to strike you dead. Well, he didn't strike him dead, but he did strike him with leprosy. And he has leprosy the entire rest of his days, ashamed, embarrassed, carrying in his body the shame and the consequences of his own sin. By the way, children of God, listen, the chastisement of God's for real, isn't it? Do not be deceived. God's not mocked. Whatever we sow, we will reap. And God has a way of getting the attention of his children however he sees fit, whatever it takes, doesn't he? And so here Uzziah, and by the way, when you study the history of Israel, from this point, after Uzziah's death, Israel's been going down ever since. There were some little periods with Ezra and Nehemiah where some stuff got rebuilt, temple and the walls, but truth be told, Israel's never been the same and won't be the same until Jesus comes again and sets up his millennial kingdom here, reigning from Jerusalem as king over the whole earth. And so it's incredibly hard, tumultuous times, just like we're living in today. Isaiah's right in the middle of that. But don't you know that in the midst of tumultuous times, unprecedented obstacles bring incredible opportunities? Come on, somebody. Isn't that right? And God calls out to Isaiah in this. And he says, listen, it's time to go. It's not time to sit back and hold what you got. It's not time to be afraid. Yes, the Babylonians are going to come and take over Judah, the southern kingdom. And man, you're going to be exiled and judgment's going to come. But that's not time to cower in fear. It's the greatest time you've ever had to stand up and share the gospel and to be a witness. And that's what God's calling us to. He's calling us to go all in. Hey, here's the deal. Listen to me. A low view of God equals a low commitment level. But a high view of God equals a high commitment level in our lives. Isn't that what this passage speaks to us just in a big, big view here? A high view of God. Isaiah has this high view of God. When he sees Jesus seated on the throne, what does it say here? Does it say he was below hanging out? It says he was high and what? Lifted up. By the way, Jesus is not your homeboy. He's not your co-pilot. He's not your chum buddy. He's the Lord of all creation. Are you listening today? He's holy. And we've forgotten that in this church culture, if you will, in America. We've forgotten this truth of who God is. Yes, he's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. I'm grateful for the friendship of God. But listen to me. If there's not something about God that scares you, you're not walking with God. There's some stuff about God that's scary, man. And not scary in a manipulative, controlling way. But scary in a reverential way, a convicting way, isn't it? There's something scary about God. And by the way, the fear of the Lord is the, come on now if you know it, the beginning of wisdom in your life. And that's what we see here with Isaiah, man. Wisdom comes out. This response that says, okay, I'm all in. The wisest thing you can do is go all in for Jesus. Not halfway, not half-hearted, all the way. A low view of God. For those in the faith who have a low commitment level, you know, not much to their prayer life, not really, you know, sharing the gospel with anybody, not giving, not serving. Why is that? It's because they've got a very low view of God and of who he is. I don't mean that, listen to me, that's some of you here this morning, some of you watching online. I don't mean that statement to be hard. Again, today's the idea for today is not to squash our inspiration or our excitement. It's to make sure we're motivated rightly. Listen, a high view of God is what gives us that high commitment level. When we realize God don't need me, now I'm all in. He lets me in on this thing. A broken up, messed up dude like me gets to get in on this and be a part of your kingdom, which is coming again. Eternal kingdom, to know that, man, there's peace and there's joy and there's hope. There's justice coming. There's righteousness coming. And the government will be upon Jesus' shoulders. He's going to treat everybody the same. And he's going to give us all grace in him. For real? I get to get in on that? Yes. Now it's like, okay, I'm all in. Everything I got, Lord, it's all yours. See that? So today, here's the big question before we dive into the motivating factors. Do you have a low view or a high view of God? Do we think flippantly about the grace of God, carelessly about the mercy of God? Or do we have such a deep, resonating idea of the holiness of God that we live in His grace and in His mercy in a way that is truly honoring to Him? Do you have a high view or a low view of God today? When you have a high view of God, everything changes. And we see in this passage, Isaiah went all in. He went all in, had that high view of God. And we see those factors that motivated him. And listen, church, factors that should motivate us as well. So I encourage you to take notes today. It's on the back of your program. If you got a program, if not, make a note, you know, side of the margins of your Bible somewhere. So motivating factors to go all in. Number one, what should motivate us? The supremacy of Christ. The supremacy of Christ. Hey, Christ is better, isn't he? Come on, somebody. He's bigger. He's better. He's more awesome than all the stuff that the world has to offer. All this stuff. He's bigger than all the stuff going on around us right now. He is holy, holy, holy. We see here Christ's transcendence. His transcendence. Holy, holy, holy. Holiness means infinite otherness. It's not a mere characteristic of God. It is the essence of His nature. Everything about Him is holy. His love is holy. His grace is holy. His wisdom is holy. His power is holy. It's all holiness. Infinite otherness. Listen, God's ways are not our ways. Isn't that right, church? His thoughts are not our thoughts. His timing is not my timing. His plans are not my plans. His wisdom is inscrutable. Right? His power is indisputable. His nature is immutable. He is unchanging, self-reliant, self-existent, totally self-dependent. He is God. And man, when we stop and really consider all that He is, we cry out like the psalmist, Psalm chapter 8, verses 1 and 3 here. It says, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is Your name in all the earth. You have set Your glory where? Above the heavens. Way above there, right? Verse 3. So when I look at the heavens, the work of Your fingers, all it takes is a little finger. Come on, somebody, and God's got it handled. Isn't that good news? The whole, everything, universe. It's so mad. The work of Your fingers, just Your fingers. The moon and the stars which You've set in place. And then in verse 4, He goes like this. He says, listen, so who am I that You would care for me? Who am I that You would have any thought of me whatsoever? That's the right attitude when it comes to going all in, isn't it? God, who am I? Who am I? You don't need me to tip You. You don't need me to, you know, need my effort or my energy to build Your kingdom. Who am I? You let me get in on it. This is a privilege. And so what should motivate us? His transcendence. But we also see here Christ's preeminence. In other words, He's got first place. He's before everything, isn't He? When Isaiah, you know, when Christ peels back the curtain of heaven and Isaiah sees Him there in all of His holiness, I'll tell you what encouraged me in my study this week of this, afresh and anew. Aren't you glad that when He looked in heaven, Jesus wasn't pacing? He wasn't pacing. He wasn't wringing His hands. He wasn't all up in arms. All that junk was going on in Israel, idolatry and immorality and people, you know, enemies coming in from the outside and all this stuff going on. But when Isaiah looked in heaven, Jesus was where? Seated on His throne just like He always was. Listen, in your life and in our society and in the world right now, the outlook may be bleak, but the outlook is glorious. Come on, somebody. Glorious. He is still on his throne just like he always was. We don't have to be up in arms. We don't have to sit with our hands wringing. We don't have to let anxiety and fear, by the way, those things are for real, but we don't have to let them take over. We can give it all to Jesus. Say, okay, Lord, you're going to help me in the pandemic. You're going to show me how to respond to this. God, you're going to show me how to be a witness for you. God, in these days, I'm going to trust you in this economy. And I'm not going to hold what I got. I'm in for your mission. And God, we're going to trust you and serve with all that's going on in our world. And so, man, he's preeminent. By the way, they say here, the angels cry out, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. And then they say, the whole earth is full of your glory. What? Y'all with me? On earth right now, when you look around, do you see a whole bunch of glory? Come on now, don't act all tight-lipped on me now. You got to jump in with me. Do we see the glory of God all around us? Not initially. We see a whole bunch of junk. By the way, if you believe in mankind, you're in a mess. Humanism, atheism, all that stuff that we promote in Western culture today, you know, all the developed nations of the world, all this trust in mankind junk. Are you kidding me? Look at the mess you get with that right now. My hope's not in mankind, it's in God. So do we see the glory of God? Well, a little juxtaposition there, right? Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely we do. But how do you see it? Listen to me. Eyes of faith. The angels were in heaven looking around. Isaiah was on earth looking around. Hey, we've got to learn to look where? Up. Look up. Look to the Word. Seek Him in prayer. Set my mind on the Lord. Meditate in Him. Rest in Him. And it's amazing when our eyes are set on heaven how much peace there is around the throne of God. Oh, He is preeminent. He's before all things. Why in the world will we go all in at a time like this? Because Jesus is worth it. Come on, somebody. He's supreme, transcendent, preeminent God. He's still on His throne like He always was. And He's calling us, just like He did Isaiah, to go all in for His mission. More than ever. Speaking of His transcendence, it reminds me of the story of the three astronauts on Apollo 8. Another one of those early missions that went to the moon. And as they were going around the dark side of the moon and on the horizon, the earth came up blue and white and, man, just glistening in the sun. On Christmas Day, that was on Christmas Day, 1968, and there were millions that were listening to what they had to say, you know, by TV and by radio. And in that moment, as those astronauts came around, one of them spoke up, and he didn't quote Charles Darwin. He didn't quote Albert Einstein. He didn't quote Nostradamus or Copernicus or Michelangelo, any of those folks. The only thing that he could think of to describe what he was seeing was to quote Genesis 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Listen, our God is the creator and sustainer of all things. He's on His throne. Why in the world will we not go all in for His mission? Doesn't matter what's going on in the world, heaven's all right. Y'all okay today? And there's a kingdom that's coming. So let's just be about His mission. Oh, what should motivate us? Number one, the supremacy of Christ. Number two, let's keep going. What else should motivate us? The inadequacy of man. I've already referred to that a little bit, but it bears repeating here. The inadequacy of mankind. Why go all in for God's mission? Because without Him, I'm nothing. I am nothing, I have nothing, I own nothing, apart from Jesus. And that's what we see with Isaiah, don't we? He says, man, woe is me, I'm a man of unclean lips. He says, I identify with everybody in this world. I'm not separate like I'm a special class. No, I'm in this with everybody, man. We're all unclean. So let's quit talking about our differences, talk about what's common about us, and let's all seek God together and love everybody. And so he says, man, here's the deal. So I'm a man of unclean lips. I identify with a people of unclean lips. And he says, my eyes have seen the King. There's a kingdom that's coming, and you're the King that's going to sit on that throne forever. And I am in total need of you. The closer we draw to the Lord, the more repugnant our sin becomes. The closer you get to God, the more repugnant your sin becomes. You think about some of the great men of God in the Bible who had visions of God, had the same type of response. Abraham, he sees God and he says, I'm just dust and ashes here, man. That's all I am. Job, towards the end of the book, man, after he's been questioning God, and God's like, okay, step up, I'm going to give you some questions. And Job's response is, I am utterly insignificant. I am nothing compared to you and your wisdom, oh God. You think about Ezekiel. It says when he had that vision of God that he fell at God's feet, man, like a dead man. Same thing said of John in the book of Revelation. Fell at the feet of God like a dead man. You think about Peter when he met Jesus and Jesus says, come follow me. And he tells him, hey, cast your net on the other side of the boat. And he pulls in that big catch of fish and he comes to Jesus. What's his first response? He says, get away from me, Lord. I'm a sinful dude. I'm a sinful man. I'm not worthy of your call on my life. And so Paul, apprehended literally by the glory of God on the Damascus Road, falls down blind and can't even move. And what a picture for us. Listen to me. When we come into God's presence, it calls us to a place of debasement before amazement. God, oh, this is good. God didn't call Isaiah at the culmination of his awesomeness. It wasn't like all of a sudden Isaiah just kept getting smarter and more awesomer. I know that's not a word, but it fits here. You know, and it wasn't like all of a sudden, his ingenuity and, man, his eloquence as a prophet and all that stuff. You know, now he's like on the top of the mountain. God like, okay, now, oh, man, I got a good one there. Now, the call of God came in his life at the humiliation of his soul. If you want the blessedness of God in your life, it comes through brokenness, doesn't it? Repentance, humility, on my face before God. Notice Isaiah's defilement here. Lord, I'm a man of unclean lips. Well, he's the prophet of God. And so this cleansing of the lips obviously has great significance for the message that he would give. But don't forget, this is also talking about ultimately his heart, because from the overflow of the heart, the mouth, what? Speaks. You ever heard this before, that what's in a well comes up in the bucket? Yeah. And so in our lives, listen, what's in that well comes up in the bucket on social media and in the workplace and around my family members and my friends. Whatever's in the well is going to come up. And so what he's saying is, unclean lips is a picture of a defiled heart. He needed God's cleansing deep within before he could speak anything for God without. And so, man, we need our hearts cleansed. But not only Isaiah's defilement here, notice also God's atonement. God's atonement. The moment, listen, the very moment that Isaiah acknowledged his sin, his broken state, his uncleanness, his filthiness, unrighteousness, the moment that he acknowledged his need, that very moment, heaven came to his aid. And today, it doesn't matter how unclean you or we are today. Doesn't matter how unclean, how filthy, how unrighteous. If we will come with hearts of repentance and humility to a holy God, he will run to us and run to you in your love, or in his love today. In his love and in his grace, he will run to you. He'll meet you in that place like the prodigal son and wrap you up in his arms of love and robe you, clothe you in his righteousness. Oh, the atonement of God, this picture of the guilt being taken away, sin atoned for, the burning coal taken from the altar of God. When the people of God came to bring sacrifices for the atonement of their sin, they brought animals. And the blood was shed on that altar, and then the fire would consume that sacrifice. And they had to do that continually for the atonement of their sins until Jesus came And Scripture says in Hebrews that he stepped into God's holy place, a place not made with hands, shed his own blood on the altar of God, the mercy seat of God, that he is the Lamb of God slain once for all. And when we turn from our sin and trust in Christ, oh, the consuming fire of God then comes and purifies our soul and changes us from the inside out. Oh, the atonement of God. Listen, today, have you turned from sin and placed faith in Jesus? Have you come to God and admitted your unrighteousness, your filthiness, your uncleanness, and cried out for His forgiveness? Oh, the very moment we call on the name of the Lord, heaven comes to our aid. The Spirit of God comes. The angels of God come. And our guilt is taken away. Our sins are atoned for. We're made right with God. And for children of God, listen, children of God today, don't miss the big picture here for us as well. Before I minister to anyone else, I must be ministered to myself. We can't minister to people and live as effective witnesses, agents of hope in this culture, if I'm not living in the presence of God every day. What a beautiful picture of prayer here, by the way. You ready? He saw, he heard, he responded. He saw, he heard, he responded. Listen to me. When your prayer life gets to that place, everything will change. See, hear, respond. Not my will, but your will be done. That's when prayer, your prayer life changes. That's when the Spirit of God will begin to minister to your soul. When you get in His presence, not quick and hasty with your words, but quiet and still before God. What should motivate us? The supremacy of Christ. Our own inadequacy. But then thirdly this morning, what else should motivate us? The urgency of the gospel. The urgency of the gospel. You can't help but be overtaken by that truth in this passage, can you? The moment he's saved, God says, okay, let's go. Let's do this. Now your heart's right. Now you're purified, you're cleansed, you're ready. God's the one who qualifies us, right? And thank God for seminary and education, all these things. But ultimately, it's the Spirit of God who qualifies us. And the moment I get saved, He's filled me. He says, okay, just rely upon me here. Rely upon my Spirit. But hey, it's time to go. Let's do this. It's time to go all in. It's time to give. It's time to serve. It's time to share the gospel. It's time to live as an agent of hope. Urgency. If you and I don't tell that neighbor, don't tell that friend, don't tell that classmate, that teammate, that person across the street. Listen, if we don't do it, who will? Who's going to do it? You hear God here calling out again, not because He needs us, but because He loves to bless His children. And He says, listen, I'm going to let you get in on this. Listen, who's going to go? And Isaiah says, listen, it's me. I'm in. All in. Are we going to go all in for Jesus? All in. As we finish up today, I want to share a testimony video with you from a sweet couple in our church, Jim and Linda Sims. They're in this service. Jim and Linda, wave at us. Y'all are right over here to my right, your left. Been missionaries for over 30 years, serving God faithfully, and their story of their call to ministry and to missions is such an inspiring story, convicting story also for me. And I know it will be for you as well. When we think about going all in, I want you to hear their story. And as you hear their story today, hear it with an open heart and an open mind before the Lord, just saying, okay, God, what does it look like? What are the specifics for us, for me, for us as a family? Let's watch this video together.
We are Jim and Linda Sims. We're missionaries with Ethnos 360. I'm in the aviation division. I'm a fixed wing and a helicopter pilot.
Yeah.
We came from Montgomery, Alabama, where I was in a family business with my dad, and we did that for 11 years. Then we had an opportunity. I've always loved flying. I've been flying since I was 16 years old. So I was flying helicopters with the Alabama National Guard, and we just felt like that was what we needed to do. So we moved to Plano, Texas. We joined the church there, Plano Bible Chapel. And while we were there, a missionary couple from the Philippines came, joined the church, and here's where we got introduced to missions. We didn't know anything about missions. Yeah. We had never met a missionary, so we knew nothing. We get a call just before the Easter weekend, and the call went something like this.
Jim, Dottie is going to take a bunch of people to New Tribes Language School in Missouri.
Okay.
Easter weekend. You think we might go?
Easter weekend? Why would we do that?
It's going to be really interesting. We'll get to meet some missionaries.
Well, you know, I guess it's a long weekend. I guess we could do that.
Okay.
Now, a lot of time has passed, almost 3 years from the process of the starting. Mm-hmm. So we're at the breakfast table one morning, and I said, so how'd you sleep last night?
Well, it was kind of interesting, a little bit unusual.
What was that?
I woke up and couldn't go back to sleep, so I went and did some Bible reading.
Okay.
And God took me to where Abraham is being told by God, leave your land, leave your people, and go to a land I will show you.
That is very interesting. Pass the salt and pepper over there.
Yeah.
Right over my head.
Yeah.
So we continue to go. We were talking about missions now.
Mm-hmm.
And so at some point, quite a bit of time has passed, and we're thinking, okay, if we're going to do missions, we really need it. We're going to go as a family. We're going to all go, or none of us are going to go on this one.
Okay, my thoughts during this time were, we're trusting God to put us where He wants us and to use us the way He wants to, whether it's here or somewhere else, and in His timing.
Now, we're out of the job, answer the prayer. The house is sold, answer the prayer. It's God's timing. So now we're getting ready to go to training. This is in December. We're going to training on like the 15th of January, just like in 4 weeks. So God lined all of that up. We went to missionary training, and then we had to go to aviation training. And the interesting thing about the aviation training was all the pilots, we just go where the need is. Like it could have been Indonesia, New Guinea, Philippines. It could have been South America, Central America. So the director looks at me and he says, well, Jim, the helicopter's in New Guinea. That's the only one we've got. I guess that's where you guys are going. And I said, great. Where's New Guinea? But the interesting thing is it's sort of a full circle with Linda having the experience of reading in Genesis where Abram is told by the Lord, hey, fold up your tent and go to a place that I'll tell you. You don't know where it is, but I'll guide you to do that. And he stepped out by faith to do that. So now we're stepping out in faith and going to a place where we don't even know where it is. And God, we know that by faith, we're going to do this and God's going to take care of us. We've been in the mission now for 33 plus years. And God has always met our needs. He has always taken care of us and our family. And we are so thankful that we said yes.
If I could say anything, I would say stay close to the Lord, listen to Him, and just surrender yourself to His direction, and then move on what He shows you. Step out in faith.
Yeah, let's thank God for Jim and Linda's testimony. Just step out in faith. Just trust God. For some of you today, God may be calling you to go on the mission field, to leave it all, to go to a place that God's going to show you. God may be calling you to that. Today, just trust Him. Just step out by faith and know that He will provide. But I can promise you one thing. Listen, for all of us today, whether you're watching online or you're in the room, listen. He's calling all of us to go across the street. He's calling all of us to just step out by faith and say, okay, I'll share with that coworker or that neighbor. I'll share Christ. I'll build that relationship so that I can win that person to Jesus. I'll give to that ministry. I'll serve in that ministry. Lord, I'll seek you in prayer every day. I'm going to call upon you. God, I'm all in. I'm all in. Listen, today God is asking, okay, who's going to go? Not because He needs us, but because He loves us. All right, who's going to get in on it? Will you go all in?